KCMO Talk Radio 710. And now 103.7 FM.
He's the ACLU's worst nightmare because he knows the Constitution and fights to keep them from making confetti of it. He's Chris Kobach. And this is the Chris Kobach Show.
Good evening, Kansas City, and welcome to the Chris Kobach Show here on KCMO Talk Radio 710, also on FM at 103.7. Wow, what a weekend. And by the way, I'm coming to you from Washington, D.C., where I have been for the inauguration events. It was an amazing 2 days, Friday and Saturday, and America has changed forever. And we can now say on the Chris Kobach Show, President Trump. Doesn't that sound good? President Trump. Oh, I know some liberals listening are just, it's getting under their skin already, but it sounds really good to me. And let me tell you a little bit about my experience. So the inauguration was amazing. I don't know what the total crowd size was, but the mall was full and it was packed. And I had the great honor to be right up close to the president when he was speaking. I was probably 50 or 60 feet away. And it was just awesome to be a part of history. And to hear the crowd roaring behind me was pretty cool, too. It was amazing. And they were cheering. The electricity was just awesome in the whole place. And it was really, really amazing to be there. The crowd, a couple of moments had me even turning around to see what the crowd was cheering about. For example, when they announced a few of the other bigwigs up there on the stage, they had Schumer come up and say a few words. And the crowd was, there were all kinds of things being said. You couldn't tell what it was from way up close, but, you know, apparently the crowd was chanting things to get Schumer off the stage. It was pretty amazing. It was just amazing. And then his speech, only 14 minutes, a very short speech. And isn't that a refreshing break from President Obama, who would just go on and on and on and drone on and lecture us? Just straight and to the point. The address was blunt. It was plain spoken. It was not fanciful and, you know, it was not soaring rhetoric. It was in regular English, the way regular people speak, straight to the point. And I think there were a couple of themes that were very powerful. One was, we're going to change things dramatically. Get ready. Fasten your seatbelts. And the other one was unity. You know, many Americans are suffering, and the fact that they're suffering, it hurts all Americans. And when you submit to American patriotism, or you give yourself over to patriotism, we're all the same. We're all on the same team. Excuse me. So the themes were good, in my opinion. Another message that came through very clearly, as Peggy Noonan said in her column in the Wall Street Journal, praising President Trump's speech. She said, quote, the essential message. Remember those things I said in the campaign? I meant them. I meant it all, end quote. It was awesome. And it was refreshing to hear a speech like that. So one of the people, I'm going to play a two-minute clip of the speech. In fact, I'm going to play it now. And then, by and large, the reaction was very positive, certainly from, the right of center, folks commenting, and people on the news, and all the people I've talked to in Washington. Of course, I've been hanging around with reasonable people who see things the way I do. But people were really, really energized and positive about the speech. But there were some detractors, obviously the usual suspects on the far left, both in the media and in other spheres. But there were some critics, including George Will, who I'm not quite sure where to place him on the spectrum. I want to talk about his criticism. But first, let me play a little clip from Trump's inaugural address, about 2 minutes. It starts about 5 minutes in the speech, but I think this was a pretty powerful part of the speech. Here it is.
January 20th, 2017, will be remembered as the day the people became the rulers of this nation again. The the forgotten men and women of our country will be forgotten no longer. Everyone is listening to you now. You came by the tens of millions to become part of a historic movement, the likes of which the world has never seen before. At the center of this movement is a crucial conviction that a nation exists to serve its citizens. Americans want great schools for their children, safe neighborhoods for their families, and good jobs for themselves. These are just and reasonable demands of righteous people and a righteous public. But for too many of our citizens, a different reality exists. Mothers and children trapped in poverty in our inner cities, rusted out factories scattered like tombstones across the landscape of our nation, an education system flush with cash, but which leaves our young and beautiful students deprived of all knowledge, and the crime and the gangs and the drugs that have stolen too many lives and robbed our country of so much unrealized potential. This American carnage stops right here and stops right now.
Okay, so that was a particularly poignant part of the speech, and I thought it was great, but it was interesting. One of the most surprising reactions, although it really shouldn't have been too surprising, came from George Will. You know, George Will's a longtime supposedly Republican columnist, and he has been anti-Trump from the moment Trump announced his candidacy. And he just slammed Trump's address in the Washington Post, and that was yesterday, saying, let me quote from it, quote, this is George Will speaking, "In what should have been a civic liturgy serving national unity and confidence, he vindicated his severest critics by serving up reheated campaign rhetoric about rusted out factories scattered like tombstones across the landscape and an education system producing students deprived of all knowledge." Okay. What was striking to me about George Will's criticism is he called what Trump was saying rhetoric, but what George Will wants was vapid, empty rhetoric. He wants just phrases, you know, soaring phrases like they were pulled out of some sort of thesaurus, words that, you know, you don't normally use, and just this sort of empty, fluffy speech about, you know, about America and about liberty and about, you know, just stuff that doesn't really speak to people. Whereas Trump was just saying, yeah, here are the problems I see, rusted out factories. And they are scattered across the landscape, and an education system that does fail to provide students with vital knowledge, and because that knowledge is not politically correct. I mean, he was speaking plainly, and George Will's beef. Now, George Will is a, you know, he's kind of the, I think he speaks like he thinks of himself as the elite who must teach the rest of us how to think. And, you know, George Will, as you probably know, left the GOP in June 2016 when Trump wrapped up the nomination because he was so disgusted. And then, by the way, yesterday he was fired as a Fox News commentator, probably in part due to his ridiculous editorial that I'm quoting from in the Washington Post. I imagine that was the straw that broke the camel's back, but I could be wrong. But at any rate, what do you think about the speech? I thought it was a great speech. I thought it was wonderfully short, and I thought it was a real change from the sort of fluffy rhetoric that makes you doze off because it seems to be using, you know, $2 words instead of 20-cent words to say absolutely nothing. I thought it was good. I was like, hey, I'm going to do what I said I'm going to do. Here are the reasons why we should all be on the same team as Americans, and get ready. We're going to change things. We're going to change them dramatically. He talked about the same themes of the campaign: borders, jobs, and again, more jobs, and again, borders, and talking about the Washington, you know, the Washington swamp. Oh, and that's one other part I wanted to mention tonight. So the one of the most uncomfortable moments as I was watching all of the Washington politicians sitting around Trump was when Trump talked about the small group. Here's the exact quote. "For too long, a small group in our nation's capital has reaped the rewards of government while the people have borne the cost. Washington flourished, but the people did not share in its wealth. Politicians prospered, but the jobs left and the factories closed. The establishment protected itself, but not the citizens of our country," end quote. So that was, as Peggy Noonan put it, that was an unmistakable indictment of almost everyone seated with him on the platform. And I remember hearing him say that and thinking, the members of Congress sitting up here have got to be completely, completely unhappy. Okay, here's another. In a minute here, I'm going to play AM. Okay, this is Madonna speaking right here. So that's Madonna. I think that came across. That was Madonna talking about blowing up the White House. This was yesterday in her speech to the women's marchers. Okay, you guys did not hear the Madonna clip. Sorry about that. We've got multiple signals coming through here. Anyway, so I want to pose a question now. We'll take a quick break. We got to hear from our advertising. It's 576-7710, of course, is the number. You can dial that 913 or 816 to reach Chris Kobach Show. I'm coming to you tonight from the nation's capital. I want to talk about Trump's speech to begin with. Then after that, I'll play for you Madonna's interesting, to say the least, remarks to the I don't know what they called it, the National Women's March or whatever it was yesterday. And let's talk about it. What do you think of his speech? Did you hear it? What did you think? What were your thoughts as he was giving what is truly an unusual inaugural address, and I think truly a great inaugural address? It was short, it was to the point, it was in plain language, not fluffy rhetoric so much, and I thought it was good. It was really good, and it was electrifying. 576-7710, you are listening to the Chris Kobach Show, and we're going to talk about it right now, as soon as we return. Welcome back to the Chris Kobach Show here on KCMO Talk Radio 710, where the number is 576-7710. 576-7710 to join the discussion. You can dial that 913 area code or 816 area code. I'm coming to you tonight from the Washington, D.C. area, where I have been enjoying the inauguration of our President Trump. Oh, it sounds good to say that. I'm so tired of 8 years of saying President Obama. And you know, when President Obama got elected, I don't know of any Republicans who marched in the streets declaring him illegitimate. You know what we Republicans did? I'll remind you, you Chris Kobach Show listeners were among them. We started a movement. We called it the Tea Party Movement, and it was made up of conservatives, many of whom listened to the show. And we said, okay, we're going to rebuild our party, make our party truer to the U.S. Constitution. And we're going to retake power. We're going to win elections. We didn't whine about the election being illegitimate or whine about this or that or claim that that the election was stolen by fraud. And I mean, I was, I'm one of the people who talks about election fraud frequently. And I said, you know, we might have lost in 2012. I said, it's conceivable that there were thousands of votes cast by non-citizens in Florida. But I said, I really don't know if there was enough to swing the state of Florida. I mean, you know, Romney lost Florida by a big margin, huge margin. I think it was 70,000 votes, if I remember correctly. But, you know, I didn't claim that voter fraud stole the election for Obama in 2012. And I didn't hear any Republicans saying that Obama was illegitimate. I wasn't happy about the election. But you've got all these whiners. And now, of course, the battle begins and the lefties criticizing Trump's speech. But I thought Trump's speech was great. And I think George Will, he's clearly lost it. I mean, he just isn't in tune with most Americans. And certainly, he's not even in tune with most Republicans anymore. And so anyway, he not only lost it in his editorial criticism, yesterday of President Trump, but also in his losing his position at Fox yesterday, too. So 576-7710. Let's go back, or let's go to the phones. First up tonight, Jim calling from Iowa. Hey, Jim, how you doing? What do you think?
Yeah, I listened to Trump's speech. One thing that really stood out to me was when he was going on about the military is going to protect the United States. He's going to protect the United States. He said God's going to protect the United States. He just doesn't get it. Any country that makes it a national law that the homosexual perverts can get married, if that's what you want to call it, they're teaching the grade school kids, there's nothing wrong with that perversion, God is not going to protect
it. Okay, so one thing, Jim, you said is that a country that makes it a national law. There is no national law making gay marriage the law. What it is a decision by five unelected justices of the Supreme Court. And when the people of this country voted, as they did in 31 states, they voted against gay marriage and for the traditional definition of marriage. So, you know, I don't know what God's perception is, but I do know that the people of America, when they voted overwhelmingly for traditional marriage. I do know that when nine justices voted, five of the nine voted in a way that does not reflect our Constitution and does not reflect our culture. But I don't know. So I'm just saying it's incorrect to say that we have a federal law. We don't have a federal law elected by the representatives of the people. We have a decision by five justices.
Is there any state in the United States that homosexuals cannot get married?
Because of the decision of the U.S. Supreme Court.
Okay.
So the U.S. Supreme Court.
There's not enough people like you and other government people speaking out against it. They're going along with it. It's the same thing. If you you're going to pay for it.
Well, we have this, you know, we have a system where the Constitution can be distorted by the Supreme Court, and we the people are left in this precarious and unstable position where we know what the Constitution was intended to mean, but we also know that five justices just twisted the meaning, and so we have we have a couple of options at this point. One option is to replace justices over time and change the decisions of the Supreme Court, and we are now thankfully in a position where we're going to have an originalist justice put back on, you know, replace Scalia, but that's a one for one trade, and we may be in a position in the near future to put on to replace a liberal living Constitution gobbledygook justice with a real justice who interprets the Constitution as written. So that's option number one, is to wait and have a better Supreme Court that interprets the Constitution as it was originally intended. Option number two is we the people can try to pass a constitutional amendment and fix the Supreme Court's error that way.
Okay, two more quick things. Whose law is greater, the Constitution or God's law? The other thing is, I don't think they're going to change that. They're going to let the homosexuals get married pretty soon, and they're teaching the grade school kids that. And I don't think they're going to change it. And I heard Trump himself say that he doesn't think there's anything, he don't see anything wrong with the boys using the girls' locker room. That's just another perversion. I don't think he's going to even.
I don't think those are the words.
I heard him say it on the radio. He was interviewed by somebody. I heard him say it.
I didn't hear those words.
Well, I did hear it.
Well, the bottom line is that these kind of decisions are made by the courts. So, for example, I believe it was the Fourth Circuit U.S. Court of Appeals that rendered the decision that was ridiculous regarding the interpretation of federal law that would require, the transgender bathroom issue. And I'm trying to remember. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was the Fourth Circuit. But that's, again, a decision made in the courts. The gay marriage issue, decision made in the courts. Abortion, a decision made in the courts. So these are all, you know, important ethical and moral questions. We just have to recognize that we are a country, for better or worse right now, we are a country where the courts have outsized power. And they have more power than the Founding Fathers probably intended. So the question is, what do we do? And the most obvious paths forward for those of us who believe in the original understanding of the Constitution is to get judges who are see the world the same way. And one thing we do know is that the 20 judges who were mentioned by Trump in the campaign as possible replacements for Scalia, all of them are good ones. And I know some of them personally, and I've argued cases in front of another one. And you know, it's a good list. So I can't, that's one of the things I'm waiting for. And I'm hoping that next week on the show, I can talk about whoever Trump has announced as the Supreme Court justice. It might be 2 weeks, but you know, that's going to be the first, he's going to do a bunch of things. We're going to see some executive orders starting tomorrow, I believe, that will really, really be great ones. And we're going to see a Supreme Court justice shortly after that. And if it's any one of those 20, it will be a great choice. I mean, he's already going to be moving this country in the right direction. So, you know, I hope you, like me, can at least have some hope that things are going to get better. We can't expect things to get better in one day, but we can and should demand that they get better in the first year. And I think we're going to see things happening very soon.
One thing left to say is everybody keeps talking about the Constitution and the Supreme Court, how powerful they are. Well, I'll tell you what, God is 10 million times more powerful than any Supreme Court.
Well, that is certainly true by definition. Well, hey, thanks for the call, Jim. I appreciate it. All right, folks, we're coming up against a break here pretty quick. So I'll take the next call after the break. 576-7710 is the number, 576-7710. You are listening to The Chris Kobach Show on KCMO Talk Radio 710. Welcome back to the Chris Kobach Show here on KCMO Talk Radio 710 with the numbers 576-7710. If you're just joining us, we are talking about the inauguration. I'm reporting to you from the Washington, D.C. area. I was privileged and blessed to be right up close to the president when he was speaking, and it was amazing. It was absolutely amazing, actually, to turn around and look behind me at the just the National Mall filled with people. I haven't seen the estimated size, but I don't know. It all depends on who does the estimating, but let's just say it was full. Oh, and get this. Did you hear this? The ratings, the number of people who viewed the inauguration on TV was the second highest in 36 years, according to the Nielsen Ratings Corporation. 30.6 million people saw the Trump inauguration on a total of 12 different networks. 30.6 million people on 12 networks. The only one in the last three decades that is better than Trump's number, you can probably guess, Barack Obama's in 2009. Of course, a historic inauguration, first black president. That one had 37.8 million viewers. So he didn't beat Obama, but all the other ones in the past 36 years he did beat. And the one 36 years ago that is the all-time high is, of course, Ronald Reagan, seen by 41.8 million people. That was in 1981. Now, Nielsen has only been releasing these tracking numbers for inauguration ratings since 1969. So, you know, who knows when JFK was inaugurated. But for the numbers we have, he's I guess, at third behind Reagan and Obama. Not bad, really, when you consider that Trump's approval ratings are not as high as those two presidents had coming into office, and all the vitriol on the left about this, you know, this fake story of somehow Russians affecting the election in some tangible way, which did not happen. All right, so a lot of people want to talk about this. Let me go back to the phones. Your thoughts on the speech? I thought it was a great speech. There's no question it was a different speech. A very different speech because it was short and because it was in plain spoken words. It was not in the kind of lofty rhetoric that people like George will like. It was in plain terms, just like the way President Trump spoke during the campaign. In plain terms, you know, going straight, cutting straight to the issue and, you know, hitting you pow in the face with blunt talk. And I thought it was refreshing. I thought it was good. What did you think? Let's go back to the phones. Next up, Nathan in Blue Springs. Hey, Nathan, how you doing?
Hey, Chris. It's good to talk to you again, buddy. I just got three points, and then I'll make them real quick.
Okay.
First, I just wanted to say that Trump got elected, so God is definitely not done with America. My first point. Second point I wanted to make, wow. Have you ever heard a president talk about power to the people, restoring the Constitution, the government, working for the people? I mean, just talking about it now sends shivers down my spine.
He's doing it with all the politicians around him.
He's talking about everybody behind him, and he said, these guys have been living high on the hog, and you've been suffering. He said, no more. You know what? I could not believe it. And you know, and people, how can you not be excited about that, Chris? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
How can you not just be jumping out of your trousers in excitement?
I kept my trousers on.
What America's about.
It is.
That's the funny thing was,
I mentioned this, as he was saying those words about how the politicians have been bleeding this country dry, I was just looking around at all the politicians surrounding him. They're all poker-faced. You know, they're all thinking, oh, I hope he's not talking about me. But it was amazing. It was amazing.
Conservative, liberal, doesn't matter what. That's what America's for. Not for the parties. It's for the people. Okay,
yeah.
And that's my second point. And then, Chris, I just wanted to ask you just a quick question. I would like to meet Donald Trump one day. Is it going to happen? Maybe. Am I going to shake his hand and say hi, bye to him? I was just wondering if, I know you sat in meetings with him and stuff. Is there any chance you could just give us, I know you can't say what's going on, but like his demeanor, his attitude, what, I know he says he's for the people. I believe he's for the people. What was he like? What is this man like behind closed doors?
Sure,
when
I can tell you.
We're talking about
I'd be happy to tell you about it. So one of the things that strikes me most about talking with Donald Trump on the occasions I've talked with him, and I've had several meetings that have gone on for a considerable period of time. His mind is like a sponge. He's constantly absorbing information and he's constantly hitting you with questions. So, I've had the pleasure of speaking with George Bush. I've had that's the only other president I've had the pleasure of speaking with at length. But Donald Trump is just, he's a machine gun of questions. He'll just be hitting you question after question after question. And you can see it where his mind's going and how quickly he's absorbing the issue and going to the next issue. And so it's exhilarating to be talking to him because you know that he's just going to grill you, not because he wants to put you on the spot, but because he's genuinely a very curious guy. I mean, he wants to get into the nuts and bolts of any issue you're talking about. So, I enjoyed it. Every time I've spoken with him, I've enjoyed it. He's down to earth. He doesn't, have this attitude of I'm the president-elect and you're just a regular person. He's just sitting across the table firing questions at you because he wants to learn more. And I think he's going to be a great president in part because of that, because he is a problem solver who wants information and wants to find a solution and make the right decision. It's not like he has something he's got everything figured out. He knows which direction he wants to go, and he wants to know how you can help him get there. So it's been a pleasure every time I've spoken to him.
All right. Well, like always, I appreciate you taking my call, Chris, and God bless you, and God bless America, and God bless President Trump. Good night.
Thank you, and God bless you. All right, let's go next to Greg in Prairie Village. Hey, Greg, you're on with Chris Kobach. What do you think?
Yeah, good evening, Chris.
Good evening.
I tell you, I thought his speech was terrific. I really enjoyed how he made the sitting politicians uncomfortable because they need to be uncomfortable.
Yeah.
It also reinforced his campaign promises that he's going to change and drain the swamp. And I also really appreciated his talking about God, not once, but three or four times.
Yeah.
And the other thing I enjoyed was he said ISIS is a terrorist organization and we need to exterminate them. And with the combination of talking about God, I think he's letting the world know and all these terrorists that God's back in America and they're going after their false god. And I'm not saying that the way the terrorists present it. And as a Christian, of course, I only believe in Jesus Christ. But I'm saying is he's not going to fiddle pansy around. He's going to address and attack these issues for the American people. And I really think it's kind of funny and not weird because it's understandable how the mainstream media, George Wills and all that. Gosh, how could he do this to the people he has to work with? Well,
yeah.
They're going to have to work with him.
Well,
that's him.
Speaking of ISIS and his approach there, yeah, I think it was refreshing. You know, for how long did we have to wonder whether Obama, then Hillary, would say whom we are fighting in this war? We're not fighting terrorism in the abstract. We are fighting terrorism and terroristic tactics brought by radical jihad. And Trump said, quote, "We will reinforce old alliances and form new ones and unite the civilized world against radical Islamic terrorism, which we will eradicate from the face of the earth." And then the crowd went wild. How refreshing was that?
Oh, I just go on hurrah. And I would almost spend money, but you never would have paid anyway. What I'm trying to make, if Trump gets our military involved, I bet you he takes the gloves off and lets our troops not be court-martialed for protecting other soldiers' lives and doing their duty. I think the rules of engagement will change.
Oh, absolutely.
Our men are not put at risk the way they are, you know. But I'm reading between the lines, but this guy wants to win, and he's not going to send troops in there to play checkers with people. He's going to steamroll them if and when he has to do that. So
yeah,
those are my comments, but I was very impressed with him, and I understood the media was going to do what they did.
Yeah, well, it was great, and I agree completely with your reactions too. It was just amazing to hear his thoughts. Well, hey, thanks for the call, Greg. Let's go next to another Greg from Blue Springs. Hey, Greg, how you doing?
Hello.
Hey, Greg, you there? You're on. Oh, sorry, Ross from Blue Springs.
Oh, hey, no problem. First on the inauguration, I do think it was a good speech. Still there?
Yeah, I'm there. Go ahead.
I thought it was a good speech, and I disagree with the news actors on television. Their take, I believe, it was not campaign rhetoric, but he was just laying out what he's planning on doing.
Yeah. He's basically saying what I said in the campaign is what I am now planning on doing as your president. Maybe that's what struck them as so strange, but he was saying the same thing, and now I'm about to start doing it. Get ready. Fasten your seatbelt.
Absolutely. I had an extra question. I was curious of your opinion. I found it interesting that his first real main piece of business was going to visit the CIA headquarters. And I was just curious what you thought of that. I mean, of all the things he could have done, he decided that would be his first major stop.
You know, I don't have a strong impression about why he did that or what he might have been thinking. You know, it might have just been that some of his advisors said, hey, there's some things we have to attend to right away. You know, bear in mind, at this point, we haven't had a business day yet. You know, tomorrow is the first business day under the Trump administration, so it might also be that was where he needed to do something right away. And those guys, of course, work 24/7, so who knows? But I don't have a specific answer for you why that was one of the first meetings he attended to.
Well, then I guess we'll just have to watch closely and see how it plays out.
Yeah, definitely. Well, hey, thanks. I appreciate the call, Greg, but Ross, really do. And all right, folks, let's take a quick break. The number is 576-7710, so we've got a couple lines open if you want to call in. 576-7710, you can dial that 913 or 816, and we'll continue talking about the inauguration speech. I'll tell you a little bit about the inauguration balls afterward. And then I want to talk about the nut jobs on the left, like Madonna, and their reactions to the speech. So a lot to talk about, a lot of fun here on the Chris Kobach Show. We'll be right back in a few minutes on KCMO Talk Radio 710. Welcome back to the Chris Kobach Show here on KCMO Talk Radio 710, where the number is 576-7710. We're talking about the Trump inaugural speech and the events of this weekend. I'm reporting from Washington, D.C. tonight, the Washington, D.C. area. I'm technically just outside of Washington. I want to tell you a little bit about the inaugural events afterwards. So then there was the parade, and there was then there were the balls that evening. I had the great opportunity to be at the Liberty Ball. Ran into a few Kansans there. It was good. And a few Missourians. So I saw some of my some friends, some people I knew, and met some new people there. It was a great event. And you could tell that President Trump, when he came by, with Melania and the whole family, the extended family, that they were relaxed and glad that it was all over. You could just sort of see it in his face and in his posture and demeanor. He was like, okay, thank goodness it's over. You know, he had his, if you saw the comments on TV, he basically said, yeah, we did it. And it was good. It was a good moment. And the various acts that were performing at the ball were amazing. I never actually had seen the Radio City Rockettes before. I had never seen the Lord of the Dance dancers before, and some great music too. So anyway, it was a good event. Thousands of people there. The ball that I was at had 8,000 people there, and then I think the other major ball had 20,000. Then there was also the military ball and a bunch of smaller ones. So you had probably, it's fair to say, hundreds of thousands of Republicans who had descended upon Washington this weekend from all parts of the country and who will be returning. So many of them have already returned, and I'll be returning tomorrow. But it's been great. It's been absolutely great to see this transition of power, to see a president in office now who will truly put America first. And is that so much to ask? And can you imagine if someone listening to the show 100 years ago were to hear about what's been going on, and that many Americans thought that we had a president who wasn't putting Americans first when it comes to the border, when it comes to trade, when it comes to foreign policy? That's a legitimate point, especially on immigration. Americans do not seem to be first when it comes to the immigration policies of the Obama administration. Well, that's all about to change. And I, for one, can't wait for tomorrow and for all of this coming week as we start to see some of those executive orders and other steps that the Trump administration will take to restore an America first policy. And that was the other big message of the speech, wasn't it? America first. And what a a simple but at the same time profound message. Profound because in many ways, our policies as a nation did not put our people first in so many different ways. And Trump laid that out in his speech. And that wasn't a campaign attack. That was a fairly profound statement and explanation of where we are as a country and how we need to get back to that very simple principle of putting our own people first, and we should not be ashamed of that. I was actually, where I was sitting, there were a few foreign diplomats too, and they weren't clapping during that part, I think because they didn't quite know where he was going with it. But then he said, look, every country has to put its own people first, and that's what America has been failing to do. I, Donald Trump, am going to do that, in so many words. So I thought that was great, too. Well, hey, let's go back to the phones and see what you think, talking about Trump's speech here on the Chris Kobach Show. Next up, Sarah in Kansas City. Hey, Sarah.
Oh, I thought he hit it out of the ballpark. I was just, I wasn't expecting anything that strong, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Usually inaugural speeches are kind of bland.
And he hit all the main points. The wording was perfect. You know, and another strong point is he addressed us, the American people. It's like we are the important ones. I thought that was wonderful.
Mm-hmm. And, yeah, it was not directed at the other people sitting around him, all of the Washington insiders.
He is a great communicator. I mean, he just knows how to address a crowd and people at all levels, and he's just remarkable, considering he hasn't ever held public office, as far as I know.
Yeah, he has not, and you're right. He always was a great communicator, and that was one of his gifts that carried him through the primary and the general election. But yeah, I think he's only going to get better.
I mean, I don't mean he just became one suddenly.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
so apparent the way he delivered the speech, and I think he seems very sincere. I have a friend or contact who is definitely on his side and a conservative, but she said she listened to it on her lunch hour on the radio, and she thought occasionally, there was going maybe not that far, but I never once felt like, but she thought it was excellent too, but I never once thought he went too far.
No, I don't either.
I thought it was just, you know, perfect.
Yeah, I thought it was too, and it was very Trumpian, if that can be a word. I mean, it was in his voice, and that's to be expected. One of the people who helped him put together those words, although Trump did a lot of the writing himself, was Stephen Miller, who's been writing his speeches throughout the campaign, or the ones that Trump isn't just giving off the cuff. And, you know, I think Miller and Trump together, you know, perfectly synthesized his voice and took it from campaign mode and into governing mode.
Well, the thing is, he was honest, which is so refreshing. We are not happy with the way things are going, and somebody better get that message real quickly.
Yeah.
But I have read, there's a constitutional expert I get email from, and he's written an essay, a short one, that we're going to have to fight for everything we get. We the people, not just Trump, can't do it by himself.
Yeah, that's right. And there are a lot of things that Trump is going to try to deliver, and I think he's going to move heaven and earth to try to deliver them. But it's going to require the American people, you know, stepping up and saying, this is what we want. It's going to require us calling our members of Congress and saying, hey, get behind President Trump on this. You know, things like trade, things like some of the tough decisions on immigration. You're going to see some wishy-washy members of Congress, along with some Democrats, get, you know, starting to balk. And Trump is going to need to have the people behind him. And he's going to need to have conservative Republicans behind him to do so much of what he wants to get done.
This essay, and this guy is brilliant, he said, he's a lawyer too, and he said that, of course, you don't have to be a lawyer to understand the Constitution.
I don't mean that.
But he has a basis for, he's pretty shrewd politically, and, you know, it's going to be an uphill battle.
It will, but some things will be easy.
We have to be aware of what we have around us. I mean, I don't even know if these people are from the same country that I hear in the neighborhood, in the media. I mean, how did they reach such far-gone conclusions? Like, Obama had a 60% approval rating recently. I mean, nobody thinks that.
I wonder at that myself, because, you know, Trump's message was echoing and resonating with people, and that message was very critical of Obama. And, you know, you take Obama's signature accomplishment.
Yeah, well, it was
Obamacare,
so
deeply unpopular.
We have been through hell as a nation for 8 years. I'm very proud that we had enough Americans who stood up and voted the right way and worked to get something done. But we're going to have to even fight more now. That's what the point of this essay was. He's a little negative, not that we can't do it, but people don't realize what we're up against sometimes.
Yeah, that's right. There's no question
that
the
Democrats... We can't be innocent and naive, and that's the one thing I like about Trump. He's a fighter. He can get in there and fight, I think, the devil himself, you know? I mean...
He is a fighter, and we're going to need someone like that, because a lot of things can be done by executive order, so he will be, you know, releasing these executive orders in the coming week, and he will get the opportunity to nominate a successor to Antonin Scalia on the Supreme Court. But with that successor, he's going to need members of Congress, especially the Republicans, to line up and support him. And there are going to be things like the you know, immigration policies, which are going to be, we're going to do a 180 degree shift in some aspects of it. The American people have to say, we're behind this. This is what we wanted when we voted for him. And you're right. There's definitely going to be some fighting as we go forward. Well, hey, Sarah, thank you for the call. I really appreciate it.
A lot of it is communicating and educating the American, informing the American people as to what the Constitution does say, what the rules are. I was reading, I never knew that Ann Coulter was so funny. But
she's hilarious.
I ordered this book, In Trump We Trust.
Yes, it's a great book. Hey, Sarah, I've got to go because we are up against a break here. But yes, Ann Coulter is amazing on this and many other issues. All right, folks, we'll be right back. You're listening to the Chris Kobach Show.
103.7 FM and AM 710, KCMO, 101.1 KCFX HD2, Kansas City's most stimulating talk, KCMO.